Hello, Burlington, and welcome to Net Zero Energy. I'm Jennifer Green, Director of Sustainability for the City of Burlington, where our goal is to reduce and eventually eliminate fossil fuel usage. Today, we have Sam Trost with us. Sam is the Nature-Based Climate Solutions Coordinator, working with Parks, Recreation, and Waterfront, and with funding through Wildways, which is a nonprofit operating in Burlington. Sam, it's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Sam, we met really for the first time a few weeks ago. We had a delegation from Germany visiting Burlington. They wanted to know about our sustainability work. And I feel like between the two of us, we were really talking about two sides of the same coin. And I was just so enthused hearing about your nature-based efforts. For folks that don't know what nature-based solutions are, tell us what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that we are very much two sides of the same coin in that your goal is to reduce our reliance and dependency on energy or non-renewable energy. And our goal is to basically reduce and mitigate the effects that we're going to be feeling if we continue to use those non-renewable resources. So nature-based climate solutions are basically using our natural environment to not only slow the effects of climate change, but to mitigate what locals are feeling in their city. So being a part of Parks and Rec and having the resources to go out into public spaces within the city of Burlington and make them more climate resilient. So it's actually really incredible that nature-based climate solutions are absolutely crucial to stop climate change and stop the speed that we are currently going at. And only about 3% of federal funding goes into nature-based climate solutions. So a lot of people, like you said, don't know about it. And it's what's crazy about it, too, is that it's using a very sustainable resource, nature. It is all around us and it is abundant and we can really pull from it to make it more sustainable in our built environment.
Tell us what assets we have that you tap into, that you try to sort of hone or support when you talk about nature-based solutions.
Great. So many assets about Burlington. Coming from Florida, where I didn't see as many of those, the community here and the desire to get involved in climate change action is enormous. So not only is there like kind of a background educational element to it where the folks and the individuals in Burlington are kind of aware of this and they have climate anxiety and they know that climate change is coming, we're feeling warmer summers. And then the amount of community nurseries in this area that are willing and know about our project and know about our goals and what we want to do for the city and are so willing to come forward and say, hey, I've got some trees. Hey, I've got some perennials that I need to get in the ground. What do you need? What can I help to get kids involved? So it's been really incredible, just the community outreach to get a lot of the resources we need. And then we are working with different organizations in the city, including the school district, try and get kids more hands-on opportunities to ease that climate anxiety a little bit, to be like, I am helping my city become more climate resilient.
But first, on a very basic level, so trees, obviously trees are good, but we have to be planting the right trees.
Yeah, so this is also done very intentionally. We are planting trees that are going to be, one, resilient to climate change. They're adapted to what we anticipate to be increased temperatures, but they're also ecologically relevant. We're not just planting little basically dead islands that aren't going to be utilized by native pollinators or other wildlife. So there is a very conscious decision, and a lot of the plantings that we have done, especially with the school district, are planted with the intention of connecting natural areas. So we are building connectivity, wildlife corridors, pocket forests that basically are educational opportunities and educational spaces for kids for years to come, but also a very ecologically relevant corridor for a lot of wildlife to utilize.
You had talked specifically about pine trees.
Yes. Oh, right. The pine trees. I love this story. We started the wildlife corridor at Champlain Elementary through kind of truly grassroots efforts back in 2020 during COVID as a chance to get kids outdoors, get kids hands-on opportunities. It is a very wet site, and there were some white pine planted that were not quite happy with having their feet so wet. So what we did is we transplanted those to C.P. Smith Elementary that has a little bit more drained soils, and we had the kids kind of make that connection through the trees to be like, take care of our tree. We've worked hard to protect it. This is what ecologically it will benefit and it will do for you. And it is the fastest growing tree in Vermont, so it is also a great tree to get those kids to see their efforts over time. They can see it in the next few years, just how big that tree is going to get.
You also talked about the excitement kids feel when they see the Parks and Rec truck pull up.
Yes, it is definitely one of their favorite things. They want to catch frogs. They ask how their trees are doing. They want to help water the trees. They are very invested. At some of the schools, we have named their trees. They've gotten to plant individual plugs so they know exactly which one is theirs. They go out and they are very caring of these trees because they know they put time, effort, and care into them, and they know what they can do for their community and for their school. So very, very special.
You know, I think it's really interesting that we talk about trees and nature-based solutions to reduce the heat impacts of climate change. I'm also really interested in your talk about the wildlife here in Burlington. Could you talk a little bit about sort of where your role is in protecting and supporting wild creatures in Burlington?
Wildlife is very much actively using this community because the transition to nature-based climate solutions, you're going to get more wildlife activity. And so it's not only about conserving what we already have, but it's improving what we have that we could make better for the organisms sharing this landscape, essentially. And so one good example, down at the bike path near Hula, there were a few snapping turtles that came up out of a retention pond and utilized the soft shoulder of the bike path as a nesting site, which is awesome because there really isn't a nesting site available to them. So that is a very interesting observation that we just had for the first time this year that could drive new ecological questions about, well, how can we eliminate this from a possibility? We don't want to have negative human and wildlife interactions. So we need to provide them with space where they can be safe and still reproduce effectively.
So I was biking on the bike path that day when there were two or three up against the fence.
Yep.
And I called Parks and Rec and said, we've got snapping turtles on the bike path. What are we going to do? And bam.
They sent me out.
You were the one. You went out. And what specifically did you do?
So there were two females out when I went out. They weren't actively laying. I excavated the nest to confirm that they were actually laid and softly covered them back up because they are sensitive. We flagged them, and I actually physically picked up both of the turtles and put them on the other side of the fence. They were slowly crawling back to where an opening was, but it was such a high traffic day and a lot of people were very interested. So I did end up safely picking them up and putting them back in the pond.
Okay, so you reverse direction. You helped them reverse direction.
Yeah, I went the same way that they were going. They were looking to go around the fence, and I just basically helped them along.
Oh, okay. Because I always wonder what to do when you run into a turtle trying to cross a parking lot. Do you help it across the parking lot, or do you send it back to the safer space?
Very good question. When you're helping a turtle cross parking lot, road, anything, always move it in the direction it was going. It was going that way for a reason, whether or not it's going back home, it's looking for food, it's looking for a water source.
So they're caged now, the eggs. What's the plan?
So there's hardwire, like metal cloth of them to avoid predators like raccoons mostly and human interaction. But that cloth is actually going to be removed, I believe, August 26th. And so that is right around the average incubation time, which in Vermont is about 90 days, give or take weather. If it's a little bit warmer, they'll hatch quicker. If it's a little rainy, sometimes it takes a day. And fun little fact, they are temperature sex dependent. So the warmer eggs become females and the cooler eggs will become males. And so relating it back to climate change is a concern with a lot of sea turtle species, is that we are seeing higher birth rates of females and losing male species.
Wow. If you're on around the bike path at the end of August, what are you suggesting to Burlingtonians?
Very good. Yes. If you see any hatchling activity, please notify Parks and Rec. We will set up a safe barrier because they can continue to come out for many hours. And they are very small. So it would be, especially if you're going fast on a vehicle, on a bike, it would be hard to see them. So please notify us as soon as possible. Typically, they will come out at like a crepuscular time, dawn and dusk. So it shouldn't be as much of a high traffic, but you never know. They do what they want to do.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad that we got a chance to talk about that, because when I saw those snapping turtles on the bike path, I was very concerned about their well-being. And I just so appreciate that we have people like you, Sam, working for the city and keeping an eye out for the other creatures with whom we share the city. So thanks for that.
Got to make sure.
Tell us about some of the success stories around the city and what gives you hope in terms of the solutions that we can apply.
Kind of coming back to summarize real quick, I believe that nature-based solutions kind of have three prongs. Conserving the land that we already have and making sure that it is ecologically functioning. It's not taken over by invasives. It's not basically a dead zone for habitat. Then it's utilizing nature in the sources, in the sites that we already have that are basically not functioning well to either mitigate climate change or not functioning ecologically. And then the last element is education and getting the public involved. And so I think a lot of the success we've had in such a short time, especially, has been under that education element. But just in the short time that I have been fortunate enough to be in this position, like, we have had over 500 students get hands-on ability to plant trees and plants and improve their community and get that feeling of autonomy and saying, look at what I've done to help my community. And they love it. They understand, even elementary school kids have climate anxiety. They understand that they are doing concrete things to help. I also really think that we have had success as like a parks department as a whole, but we even have public sites like our cemeteries where we're trying to reduce things like mowing and incorporate more native biodiversity. So we're not only, one, not putting carbon into the air every time we mow, but we're also creating beneficial habitat for wildlife and creating carbon sinks through those deeper roots. So Lakeview Cemetery is a really good space if folks want to go check that out. The school district, I think, is our greatest success. Just getting that many kids involved. And in the 3 months, I believe, I was doing programming this spring, we created over half an acre of climate resilient habitat. And so it's going to be pretty incredible to see what that site does for not only the students, but in a few years, like, we have the data to know how much it's actually doing, like how much carbon that is being sequestered, how much water is runoff is being contained, how much air pollution is going to be removed from the atmosphere because of these trees. So getting kind of the concrete numbers and seeing just how effective this short little trial has been is really motivating and makes me really excited for the future and where this project's going to go.
So, Sam, you talk about what a dynamic populace we have in Burlington and how engaged folks are. From a BED perspective, we see an increase in the amount of people driving electric or opting not to drive at all through things like CarShare Vermont, through the e-bike rebate program, et cetera. If folks were hearing you today and thinking, all right, great, now I want to tackle or really sink my teeth into some nature-based solutions, what would you suggest that people do?
I think the first step is to start in your backyard. If you have a lawn space or property that is not being used to benefit ecological function or climate reduction, that's a really easy step. There is a lovely nonprofit, Grow Wild, who their website will provide you with information on if your site conditions are dry or wet, what plants are beneficial in your area. So I think starting in your backyard is huge if you can. If not, there are a lot of public spaces within Burlington where you can get involved, especially through conservation. We're always looking for like organizations or even individuals to get involved in. Can be, you know, helping out in our community gardens, or it can to work on food security, or it can be helping out in the natural spaces, removing invasive species, or even just coming to Keeslake Park where the conservation office is and coming to, you know, our public discussion about what we're going to be doing with the building or something like that. There are a lot of ways to get involved, some a little bit more concrete than others, but I think anything moving towards the positivity of making this city more nature-friendly and climate-friendly is the way to go.
Well, Sam, I really want to thank you for being here. It was a real pleasure to have you, and I learned a lot. I hope our listeners did too.
It was great, Jen. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you again for listening to Net Zero Energy. If you have any questions about this podcast or what BED offers regarding incentives, rebates, or technological support, look for us at burlingtonelectric.com or call us at 802-865-7300. You can also follow us on Facebook. We're always here to help and look forward to engaging with you on our mutual path to net zero energy.